listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Look inside of my soul and you can find gold and maybe get rich. Look inside of your soul and you can find out it never exists. I can feel the changes. I can feel a new life alone. Always new life could be dangerous. I can say that I like a challenge. You know, life to me is painless. You don't know what pain is. How can I paint this picture when the color blind is hanging with you? Fell on my face and I woke with a scar. Another mistake living deep in my heart. Wear it on top of my sleeve with a flick. I can admit that it did look like yours. Why you resent every making of this? Tell me your purpose is petty again. But even a small letter can burn a bridge. Even a small letter can burn a bridge. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast with your host Rod and
Karen.
I feel like I got it together by the end there. There were some words missing earlier in this lyrics I copied. We're live and back and podcasting and doing all those great things that we love to do. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, search the Black Guy Who Tips. Leave us 5-star reviews, okay? We are back. We podcast. We took a couple weeks off, but we back. So we back on your ass. New Year's resolution.
Come on. New year, new you. Leave some reviews.
New year, new review, okay? We are, come on. I want to all the love, okay? Anyone out there that's still holding out, like we didn't put in on this, do you know what today is, guys? Do you know what today is? It's our podiversary. It's our podiversary. Mm-hmm. It's our 9th year. Today is the day that the Black Guy Who Tips started. And ironically, we're doing a late show. But not as late as we did that first day we recorded this shit.
Not that late.
The one that took, okay? There were several attempts to get this baby pregnant.
The 14 times.
And the one that took happened today, 9 years ago. It's ironic, 8 years ago, around this week, Bomani Jones was a guest on our show, in our house, in our apartment. And now, look at this, y'all. 9 years. Your faves can never.
Mm-mm.
Okay? There's only a few people ahead of us in the game.
Right?
And very few black people still doing it that was anywhere close to when we was doing it on a consistent basis. So shout out to anniversaries, man. I really am happy and proud that we're doing what we're doing, and let's do what we can to get to anniversary number 10, guys. All right?
Yes, sir.
And that starts with you leaving 5-star reviews. We appreciate those.
Every single one. On iTunes and Stitcher.
On iTunes and Stitcher. Okay, the official weapon of the show is
the taser,
and the unofficial sport
is bullet ball
and bullet ball extreme. And today's podcast is brought to you by let me get some music going. Hold on, give me a second. Actually, all these are side chick songs. These are not the right songs. I think I already did that joke before. All right,
but it never gets old.
Here's a better list. All right. Adam and Eve is determined to help you bring in the new year right. They want to help you spice things up in the bedroom, okay? New year, new toys is what we say here.
Mm-hmm.
Go to adamandeve.com. You can get 50% off of just about any item when you put in code TBGWT at checkout, which is a good deal in itself. But also, in addition to that, they are trying to give you the Big O Kit, okay? You get the Big O Kit, which comes with a climax gel and a little mini vibrator. So you can get all off on the other things that you need to vibrate, okay? Don't, you know, do what you want to do with it. It's fine with us. And then also they want to give you free shipping on your entire order. All you got to do is go pick out one item. It could be a nice little naughty outfit. It could be condoms. You know, some of y'all, let's practice safe sex in the new year, okay? Apparently people out here giving people herpes and shit. You gotta do what you gotta do is what I'm saying, guys. You gotta get out here and protect yourself. They got ergonomic pillows, okay? We ain't getting no younger, so you might need a little help, okay? Maybe it's not popping all the way up there with the right angle that it used to have. All I know is I'm trying to help, and Adam and Eve is trying to help. Go pick out your one item, put in code TBGWT, get that Big O Kit, get the free shipping, get that half off, and then you can thank me later, okay? Thank you. Sing me out, SWV.
Hey,
right, let's get into the show. I don't even know where to start. I feel like we've had a lot of time off. A lot of things have been happening.
Mm-hmm.
I've compiled a few random thoughts.
Okay.
Let me talk about those real quick.
Let's do it then.
All right. Number one, I just hope the people who swore to quit me for their New Year's resolution can stick to it this time. Okay.
Me too.
Saw a lot of promises, a lot of empty promises about not fucking with people no more all over social media. We all saw it. Everybody was making them. Stick to it. We are both in this together. I'm rooting for you. You rooting for me. Let's do it.
Be vigilant.
Ranch dressing tastes better in restaurants. I don't know why, but it does. If you try to get some ranch from the grocery store, it's not even close. It's a big ass conspiracy. Ranch salad dressing in the grocery store been getting by on the reputation of ranch whatever.
And it might be because a lot of places make their ranch in house. I don't know if that makes
it. Well, they need to make it in house at Publix then, and Harris Teeter and Food Line and shit. I don't understand what's the problem. It's false advertising. You know?
And there is a difference between a Hidden Valley ranch and like a Kraft ranch. Like, there is a big difference. A lot of times Kraft ranch has like a peppercorny taste to me. And I remember as a kid, this is hilarious, but as a kid, I used to tell my family, I can tell the difference between them. They're like, all ranch tastes the same. And I used to be like, all ranch don't taste the same. So they gave me a blind taste test and I got it right. I said, bitch, my taste buds work.
Yeah, it's not, I don't care about the difference between those two ranches, but they both pale in comparison to the ranch that you get. Like, if you just go to like, it doesn't even matter. You just go to Buffalo Wild Wings. You can just go to Rick Ross's joint. Like, you, anywhere you go, the fucking ranch tastes better. It never tastes like that shit you get in a grocery store, because that shit is nasty. And I always buy it, and I get home and I think it's because I bought the wrong brand, and I bought every fucking brand in every grocery store at this point. So, and none of it is fucking with the ranch in the fucking restaurant, period. And I worked in the restaurant. I don't remember making that shit.
No, we didn't make it.
I don't remember making it. I mean, maybe somebody was making it, but I don't remember being, I never was asked, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But I worked in the kitchen in restaurants and as a waiter in restaurants, and I never remember fucking putting the ranch together, but it still was more delicious in IHOP than it was in motherfucking Food Line. Why is that?
I don't know. Maybe because they make it in vats. I don't know.
That shit bothers the hell out of me, guys. So let's see what else we got here. You know, I've been noticing lately, I know you guys have been watching, reading the news and stuff, a lot of white women going missing, a lot of white women dying mysteriously, going missing. Like, it's like, I don't know if it's just always constantly happening, or and now we have social media, so now we're seeing it more, but it seems like the end of last year was full of just white women going missing, white women going dying mysteriously. And you know what happens, guys, every time? The husband, the boyfriend, the fiance, they did it every time. Oh, she went hiking. I don't know. She said she was going to work. I haven't seen her in 7 days, but she does this all the time, guys. No need to be suspicious. You know what? I'm gonna get a press conference with the police. Let me talk to the people.
Yes, and then they do a dateline and it'd be them.
All right, bring Sharon home. I love her and she is the greatest. And honey, if you're just out there, you don't want to, you can come home, okay? And the thing that gives them away every time, I don't know. I mean, I guess it's good that they're so stupid that they're getting caught. You know, these dudes that kill their women, I guess it's better than the opposite, them getting away. But every time they get caught doing the same shit, Google catching like 90% of these fucking white men.
Yes!
And all the Google searches be like,
how you make poison?
How to bury a body where no one will find it. How to lie to the police.
How to chop up the body.
How much life insurance money does it take to get some new pussy?
Come on!
And the police are like, still investigating. It's the dumbest shit I ever seen. Every time. I don't even like bother checking back with the stories no more. As soon as I see the white dude that was dating, I'm like, okay, so he did it and we'll find this
guy. We gonna get a dateline story on him, yeah.
He says he didn't do it, but his Google searches include.
Oh, what's that one? The one where they recap with the husband killed wives? Oh, damn that damn show. One of them shows you watch.
Yeah, I'm just saying. I don't want to I'm not even talking about waiting on TV shows. I'm just saying the shit is, we finding out within like 6 days.
Yeah.
Like they just, more shit drops every day. It's like, Larry Davis was going out and, going on Craigslist and going on dates with women. Oh, he has a girlfriend. He's engaged to her.
You know? He said on his Snapchat.
Here he is in Walgreens buying a vat of acid. Like, this is ridiculous.
There you go. Snapped. Thank you.
Snapped is women killing men, not killing women. Let's get it right, guys. Fatal Attraction is the black one.
There you go. Oh, that's the same thing with the women kill the men.
No, Fatal Attraction is men or women getting killed, but it's the black one. That's the only thing that
matters. Well, Snap was, I would have said Snap, so thank you, because that's what I was thinking. My bad.
Well, double tank. You know, I'm a little surprised, because I was looking at all the people in trouble this week and over the last few weeks. It's a lot of celebrities getting themselves in hot water, saying shit, you know, getting canceled, canceling themselves, uncanceling, coming back, being canceled again.
Nobody gets canceled.
Right. I get it. Cut off my joke if you need to. But I think all the canceled movie people haven't gotten together on a project to work by themselves yet, and that's what they need to do. Like, why hasn't that happened? You know, like, there's enough canceled people now that they should be able to make a pretty big budget film or something.
It's enough canceled people to get uncanceled.
Yeah, I'm just saying, or just continue that work on their own. I don't know why they're waiting for everyone to uncancel them so they can start working with everybody else. Why don't they just get together and make their own project? Bryan Singer directs Kevin Spacey in a film with Nate Parker coming this summer, featuring the C's Unsorry, Louis C.K., and Pretty Much No Women, produced by Matt Lauer, Les Moonves, and Harvey Weinstein, and also No Women. Make sure you check out The Canceled, coming July to a Blockbuster video near you. Written by Lena Dunham. I feel like that shit with The Canceled could be, that might be the way to go.
Might be.
You know, they all keep trying to make it happen. Why don't y'all just, I'm just saying, people might not go watch that. You know, I was thinking about Santa Claus this weekend. I wonder if the elves have a union yet.
Shit, they ought to.
You know, cause Amazon basically stole Santa's, business model.
Yes, they did.
You know, cheap, ununionized labor, slaving away all hours of the day.
Paying them with peanuts.
Being paid in peanuts. Giving gifts to millions of people expecting delivery overnight. Like, they kind of did that already.
You just don't come from the North Pole, that's all.
Yeah, except Amazon's even worse because they do it every day of the year.
Right?
Like, what do the elves do not the other days of the year? You know, that's not Christmas. Like, I assume they get a Christmas surge, but then when Christmas over, what's the rest of the year?
I guess we're paying for Christmas.
I think it's baking Santa cookies
to keep them fat.
They go in them trees and they, them Keebler elves, for the rest of the year.
Oh, I thought you meant trees like weed. I was like, what, they making Santa weed and baking cookies?
I'm wasting these jokes on you right now. Should have saved these for the audience that cares.
You said trees.
They go in the trees and cook cookies. And then,
well, from what I heard, people that smoke weed like to munch, so what's the difference?
All right, you know what, maybe I should just kill the rest of these
No, go ahead, I'm here for them.
I don't think you are. I had some issues with my HelloFresh package. They moved it to FedEx and it's supposed to go UPS, and long story short, FedEx never delivers on time. Mm-mm. So anytime FedEx is supposed to deliver my fucking HelloFresh package, instead of getting here on a Friday, like the good Lord intended, ends up possibly missing the entire weekend, and I don't end up getting it till a Monday or a Tuesday. And by then, you know, I'm not trying to eat 4-5-day-old chicken or fish or some shit. Mm-mm. So I end up having to throw the meat away and all this shit. It's just a big pain in the ass. And that's if they deliver it. And so I had to call them and be like, hey, my delivery missed. What are y'all gonna do? And, you know, they were like, I said, it looked like y'all switched to FedEx. Can y'all just switch it back to UPS and give me a credit for the box, because I'm not gonna obviously eat that shit. And they were like, yeah, we can do that, and I appreciated that. But there's something about the new customer service. that I don't like. And I blame you sensitive ass motherfuckers out there in the world. I blame y'all.
What happened?
It's y'all's fault. Y'all have made customer service go from bad, which it used to be, you know, customer service did used to be bad, to like this pandering piece of shit. Like, they're just so fucking soft now. It's just, there's no fight to them, you know? And I'm not saying I want to fight them, but they're not even being genuine anymore. It's fake as fuck. Like, whatever the script says now, it's like you call it and you're like, hey, I was calling, my box is late. And they're like, oh my God, I'm so sorry that happened to you. And I'm like, when did y'all turn into white women at the mall having a conversation about a divorce? Like, what happened to just like, okay, how can I help you? Okay, all right, so when did it arrive? Like, they have to do this like emotional labor now, and it's so fake. But it's also like, I don't blame them. I blame all these fucking entitled ass customers who are like tweeting through fucking that call to the customer service, and they're like, they didn't even say I'm sorry that your grandmother died 3 years ago.
That's why they do that.
Yeah, I'm like, why are y'all just it's a transactional situation,
and it happens all the time.
I paid for a good of service. Something was wrong and I need some help.
Mm-hmm. Some people that like, nothing is ever supposed to go wrong. Shit goes wrong all the time.
Right, shit goes wrong. And like, sometimes, like, I try not to get in, I don't talk to these people honestly when they start. Like, you ever talk to these entitled people that have customer service issues and they start talking to you and you realize that they the problem, you know? They're like, yeah, so then we had a issue with the Uber and he was late. And I'm like, oh man, that sucks, man. It was late. So would you cancel it or something? Yeah, because he got shot in the arm, he couldn't make a left turn. And so he was 3 seconds late. And I'm like, oh, nigga, you the one's crazy. You right, are crazy.
Right.
An average human being would be like, oh, somebody got shot in the arm, man. You should like go to a hospital or something.
Right. I'll wait for the next Uber.
Right. Like, it's just something's wrong with you. Not the customer service in that situation. Not the, you know, and I feel like those type of entitled ass people have made it to where customer service is some cucks now. It's just, oh my God, I'm so sorry that your package was late. Are you gonna be able to eat this week? I'm like,
will you die?
I'll be okay. Let's just get back to it. Like, it takes an extra 5 minutes on customer service now because they gotta do the apologetics. Like, no, I actually want this call to be short. I'm trying to wrap it up. So can you just switch it back to UPS? I'm looking into it right now, sir, and I'm diligently trying as hard as I can, and we are going to make this correct, and they are going to make it right. I apologize for slavery, and it was wrong, and white people are wrong for that. And I'm like, I just would like it to get here on Friday, if that's possible.
Yes, if you don't have that problem, in my opinion, you have the other problem, where I have to go through a 45-minute auto system to get to the fucking operator, and sometimes they don't even give you the option of the operator.
I
say fuck it and press 9 or press 0 and you automatically go.
So I'll cop to that. I actually like that I love that actually. And I understand that, because you're trying to weed out people who are stupid, and everybody forgets that us people who aren't stupid find it very inconvenient.
Right,
but that's because we don't have the other side of that job. If I'm dealing with people all day, like say they want to call about their cable, right? Mm-hmm. 99% of problems with your cable can be fixed by unplugging and replugging the motherfucking thing in. I don't want to be on the phone with you to walk you through that shit 100 times a goddamn day.
Yeah, that's why.
So let's start with some prompts. You don't get to talk to me until we have checked all the shit, okay? You know, not to mention another, like, if the other 1% of problems can also be solved by time. So a lot of times it's just like, if you wait 5 minutes, the shit will come back on. But I'm just saying, it's not that no one should get customer service. It's just, there's a lot of dumbasses.
Yeah.
Anybody that's worked with the public, when I was a waiter, I wish that could have happened. Yes. I honestly wish before I had to come over to your table for a problem, it was like, now did you order the thing that you got? And you got what you said and you just don't like what you ordered? You know, like that kind of shit.
Right.
You know, are you the one that put too much salt on your shit? Because you didn't taste it first?
Come on. And now you want to send it back to the kitchen?
Right. So anyway, that's the shit I think about.
I didn't even think about that, but that makes complete sense. And so now that's why you go through the prompts and they'd be like, we're gonna test your box, like you do it. And you know what else
computers don't do? The automated voice never acts like a little bitch because it's trying to make you feel good.
No, it doesn't.
It's, we are so sorry, you know, like they don't do that. It's like, I'm going to run some tests now. By the way, I am so sorry that this happened to you, sir.
No, you know
or madam.
You know what it says? By the way, you can go online and check the shit. You know, so they basically say, hey, dumbass,
right,
why are you wasting your time with me? You could have checked your bill online versus wasting your time to pick up the phone. You can reach us at www.dukepower.com.
Right. Now, I won't lie, I do find it annoying because I'm not stupid.
Right.
And I never call up there without trying to troubleshoot shit myself first. But a lot of people do.
And you
need to be fucking walked through that shit. You know, we've had cops like that where you've asked me to do something and I had to be like, all right, now, did you try anything before you came and got me? Anything
right.
at all?
Right. And now, okay, I'm better about that, but I am.
Yeah, you're much better about it. But there was a time we had to have a talk where it was like, okay, did you try moving your mouse? Oh, yeah, moving my mouse. It does turn the computer back on. Like, come on now. Like, and I bet it would be worse if I worked in actual tech support and that had to happen.
Yes, and I think for me, that's why now, after I've gone through all my avenues, and I'm actually better about this too, when I do bring it to you, sometimes I'm just livid, because I'm like, fuck, I've done everything I can do, I don't know what else to do. Then I get to you and I'm mad.
And then I gotta deal with anger that I don't deserve.
Right.
My business.
Right, because I'm like, I don't know what else to do. I went through all the prompts. But I am better about that.
The worst thing is, as an empath, the fake customer service sympathy thing they do, it sucks because by the end I feel like I'm apologizing to them. But I'm the one that had the problem, y'all. So it's like, I'm now on the phone with this motherfucker like, no, don't be hard on yourself, man. Like, it's not your fault that my package didn't get here. You didn't personally switch it from UPS to FedEx, so it's gonna be okay. And they're just like, I don't know what I'm gonna do, sir. I'm so sorry. I'm like, please stop beating yourself. No one died. It's okay.
Don't jump off the bridge.
Yeah, this is terrible. And last thing, because I don't feel like talking about Trump a lot today, but Mitt Romney wrote a strongly worded letter, an op-ed to Trump, and he ended it with, I might not support you in 2020. I might not endorse you. Mitt Romney, he is so milquetoast, and I don't mean it M-I-L-Q, not that one, I mean milk toast. Like, you took some warm toast and dipped it in just some room temperature milk. It was all soggy and shit, and no one wants to eat that. No one. That's Mitt Romney. As a candidate, as a human being, and all the quote-unquote good Republicans are the same to me. They're the same. Trump is so, I'm so not like him. I will go along with his tax plan and his border wall. But he's so ridiculous. I mean, grab him by the pussy. Hell no. I do support women not having the right to abortion, though. Oh my God, what a terrible, terrible person. Shut down the government and no taxes on nobody. Oh my God. Like, they're the fucking worst. I hate him. Milk toast. All right, let's get into the news. Lots of news has been happening. Okay, I guess the number one thing everyone's talking about, we might as well get into it now. R. Kelly, the Robert Kelly,
mm-hmm.
the pedophile, who makes music. Anyone who's listened to the show long enough knows how we feel about the motherfucker and have felt since the inception of the show. I still remember when we used to get emails and shit when I would be like, oh yeah, you clearly a fucking pedophile. So I mean, and for real, a black man? I was like, are y'all serious right now?
The government trying to take a black man down, protect him,
you know. And I feel like society in a way, at least black culture in a way, has come a long way from the time when R. Kelly especially when that sex tape, quote unquote, rape tape actually, came out, with him having sex with underage girls.
Right.
I feel like we've come a long way from that in some areas. You know, I feel like black women and black feminism is more prominent now, especially in online spaces.
Yeah, these voices have always been here, but like you said, the internet, it gives people a chance who is normally marginalized to actually have a larger voice.
Yeah, it's the social media aspect of it is really kind of helped in some extent, to some extent. Also the internet, the sleuthing abilities, the ability to take something that would be a local story and make it a national story, the ability to take what black people have always done, right? We've always had oral histories. We've always talked to each other. We've always told each other our stories and shit, and then it spreads that way and it becomes the history that we have. Well, I feel like we're now at a level where that sort of thing takes place on the internet. And on the internet, it can be shared a million times by a million different people, and a bunch of people see it and they see, oh, this thing that would have been like a local hush-hush rumor is now a global thing. And a lot of what R. Kelly's the opposition to him has become has been shining light on places that were dark. It's been local hush-hush stories becoming national rumors and then confirmed and all that type of stuff. And it's really as much a story of the advent of social media, the globalization of media, the ability to have access to the storytelling mediums, whether it's TV and stuff like that. And there's a million moving different pieces. There's egos and stuff that are involved with the production. There's people trying to make comebacks off of the backs of the production. There's gonna be a, you know, anytime you tell a story like this, documentary like this, where you have a bunch of people talking about sexual assault, a lot of survivors giving their stories, there's going to be millions of different opinions on how things should have been handled. You know, I saw before we went on the air someone was saying like the survivors involved didn't get paid off of the documentary, which, you know, I don't know what kind of money changed hands, where money went, or any of that stuff. So I saw people kind of nitpicking about that. I saw people talking about what does restorative justice means. I saw people talking about the people that were involved in the documentary as far as like who was on camera and stuff. There's like a million different agendas and moving pieces, and that's kind of one of the things that makes it so hard for stories like this to get light, is because there's a bunch of people with different reasons and different protections and stuff like that involved. But basically the documentary is called Surviving R. Kelly. If you haven't watched it or you don't know about it, you're probably just not on social media, because if you're black and on social media, there's no way you didn't see people talking about this.
No way.
You might not have seen it yourself, but there's no way you didn't see people talking about this. I almost didn't watch it, to be honest.
Same.
Because I feel like as a show, we have consistently been on that motherfucker's ass the whole time and never really fucked with him. The most we got for R. Kelly and his ilk is ridicule, mocking, jokes, anger. Like, we don't really have a lot of, we have no protectionism for him. I don't care that he's a black man. I don't care. It's not a conspiracy. I'm not gonna ever deflect to what about white people. He's a monster and a scourge to our society and to our culture. And the fact that he still exists and is able to even, make a living doing any level of entertainment is a huge pockmark on the culture. You know what I mean? Like, it's not to say that no other culture has this, but I care about us, and the fact that he still is moving around and people are obviously, you know, supporting him is sad. You know, whether it's the people that listen to his music and go to his concerts, whereas the people that enable his predatory stuff that he does to young black girls, because he's not a very like smart man as far as like reading, writing and shit, so he's not even planning all this shit. He got people around him that literally help him do these things. So it's a 6-part documentary. I think it was on Lifetime.
Yes,
we watched all 6 parts. I thought it was a good documentary, to be honest. I was kind of surprised that they got this so many people to tell the truth about themselves and their involvement. That was the most shocking part to me, than anything else. What'd you think about the documentary?
It was a lot. It was a lot to take in. Some of the things, you know, people have heard for years, but it's different between that and you actually seeing it, and you actually seeing the victims and, you know, hearing the stories that, you know, you kind of heard. Some of them I've never heard before. I'm just keeping it real because this is in Chicago. We're nowhere near Chicago. So people that are in Chicago and in the Chicago area, they know a lot about this. And a lot of people in the area for years, particularly, have been coming out on social media and be like, yeah, he been doing this shit for years. Yeah, he been doing this, he been doing that. So people in the area were more informed than people outside of the area. So for a lot of people, they were kind of hearing they were hearing more of the stories, or some of the stories they didn't know about, for the first time. Like I said, it was a lot of heartache, a lot of pain, a lot of turmoil. It was just a lot, you know, because, you know, I lived through a lot of that, and a lot of the songs and stuff. It was just going, okay, so this was happening at this time, this was happening at that time. And for me, it was more of connecting the dots and, you know, placing things in certain time frames, certain periods of time. And like I said, my overall story was, it was a lot.
Yeah, I think it was a lot for everybody. I think everybody also feels like they need to have like a complete black and white take on it immediately, and have a complete like synopsis, and I understand everything that happened. I don't, to be honest. And then as far as my personal relation to R. Kelly and all the people involved, as people know, I talk about on the show, I didn't really grow up an R&B person, like an R&B head. That just really wasn't me. I know some 90s R&B because that's just when I was a kid, but R&B just not my genre like that. So I didn't really have an attachment, you know, to R. Kelly on anything more than just like an entertainment level or whatever. And just kind of knowing his music. Wasn't necessarily a fan. I don't really go to anyone's concerts. And then everybody knows how I feel about celebrity. So I never was one of these like, this person is blank, because you know, my dad was my hero. My mom was my hero. I don't know these niggas. None of them raised me. None of them are my friends. They're not my homies. I don't want to be like them, any of that shit. So, I never idolized the dude either. So coming at it from that angle, my personal thing was I think this is the hardest part for people to take back and go back in their minds to the period of time. We didn't have social media like that.
No, we did not.
So a lot of this stuff was bits and pieces that people knew, but not all put together. It's always funny when people show like a magazine clip and they're like, they wrote about it in Vibe. I'm like, not everybody read Vibe.
Right.
Not everybody talked about what they read in Vibe. There was just as good a chance that shit was in Vibe and nobody was really walking around discussing it, unless they were really big fans of the artist and read the article. And you know, it didn't even necessarily become news. Like, you can have an article in Vibe about this dude's criminality and then not be on the actual news that night,
right?
Because people did kind of consider that as separate, like entertainment, and not really a story. So I know there were bits and pieces of stories I had not heard, or I had only heard bits and pieces of stories. And I'm glad this documentary exists, because it put a lot of stuff together. Some of it was new to me.
Same.
You know, were you going to say something? I'm sorry.
Yeah, same. Some of it was new to me. And also, when you were talking about that in the age of the internet, that shit matters, because you can have it on the Chicago Sun-Times. Like I said, if you are outside of Chicago, you never heard about it.
And especially,
you would not know.
And especially the details. Because see, some of this stuff, because of the just savage nature of his crimes and the accusations, there were also organizations that just weren't covering it,
right?
Like they would intimate shit, but they weren't gonna give you no details. You know, this, like, I'm sure it was very triggering for people, and they had all kinds of trigger warnings and this is a warning, this is about to da-da-da, before every break, everything. But even with all that, some of the people went into graphic detail about, I did this to this child, I touched this, I did that. Like, there wasn't any like code switching to it. It was, and honestly, we didn't really have that when all this shit was actually going down. There wasn't all that detail, you know, at least in the places that cover this, were supposed to cover this type of news. Some people do feel like, well, it's specifically because it was black girls that this stuff wasn't covered and people didn't care. And I don't think you can divorce that from the context. I think that's true for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
But I think also the Catholic Church, right? I think also, Larry Nassar and the USA Gymnastics. We as a society do not value girls, period. And then black girls is even worse. You know, because one thing I will say that was completely different in the response to, like, even Larry Nassar, Nassar, whatever, the USA Gymnastics sexual abuser, and R. Kelly, that has infuriated me for so fucking long. And, you know, we talk about it all the time, but it's the fact that black girls didn't get to be girls. Like, I, you know, and I've had discussions with grown ass men who they refuse to be like a 14, 15, 16 year old girl that is black is still a girl. You know, it's no, that she grown enough to, you know, it's that shit where I'm like, now that's the difference to me. It's not that the abuse doesn't happen. Abuse happens so much in our society, and men being trash. Pretty much anytime some dude gets power, eventually someone will use that system, whether it's mentorship, whether it's this entertainment industry unspoken contract, take you under my wing type shit, whether it's academia, you pick, politics. We find in every avenue that there are men that are powerful, there will be men who are also abusive of that power, many times sexually. But the defense of the men varies. I'm not like, we like, society pretty much defends all the men, right? White, black, whatever,
right?
But the defense of the men does vary by the victims. It absolutely does. Like, that's the thing to me that you can't divorce the racial context of this, is because, and it's not just white people, it's us, it's our people who are dismissive. And it's not even just men, so keep in mind, I'm not saying men aren't the ones offending, but for the defense of these men, it's not just men defending them. Like, we vilify these girls. We turn them into, like, seductresses or some shit. You know, because we love to talk about how somebody's too grown, somebody's too fast.
Mm-hmm.
Everything except this motherfucker's a monster.
Right.
It's everything except that. And I think that was, you know, like, there's moments that remind me how much I've curated my life, because I don't fuck with people like this, you know, but they are prevalent. There's a lot of them. When I say we've changed, we ain't changed that much. We've changed since that tape came out, you know, we've changed, but we ain't changed that fucking much. People still think these little girls are just fast, and where were their parents, and that, you know, that's what they get, and if that's what she wants, she grown enough to have sex, and she grown enough to. We are absolutely still plagued by people with that mentality. You know, I don't have it on my social media. What happens to me is I see it whenever, like, there's an article, like, I follow, like, The Root, mm-hmm. Griot, Baller Alert, these people on these news publications on Facebook. Click the comments every time.
Oh, they're foul.
Every time. And I'm glad I clicked them, because I needed to be reminded, because I've cleaned up my life to be like, if you fuck with that kind of shit, you know not to fuck with me. I'm definitely not the one.
Nope.
But that those things, they remind me how toxic we can be as a culture, and how much we are so fucked up because of white supremacy. Like, it fucked us up. It allows us to believe the worst in each other, as far as, like, our children are actually predatory sexual beings that just trap these rich black men. You're like, what now? You know, it's that type of thing. And it's the people that you know, and when you see these comments, they're getting hundreds of likes and all this shit. So like, it's, there's people that agree or find it funny or don't argue back and forth. Like, it's not such a I don't know, it's not such an atypical opinion that these people have. And so that has been one of the things that's been eye-opening, is watching that and being like, damn, it's still so fucked up, you know, like y'all still think it's a game, you know. So yeah, that was, you know, the documentary in itself. I think the Aaliyah stuff was interesting because I didn't get attached to Aaliyah in the way that I know a lot of my peer group did, especially mm-hmm. black girls.
Yeah.
They loved Aaliyah.
I did. I remember when she died. I was actually in college. I'm going to say a junior. I'm going to say sophomore in college. And it was like all over BET and everybody was shocked and people were just crying. It was just really, really sad. Mm-hmm. And it was one of those things where I just knew she was really, really young. And so I was like, what is happening? How did this happen? And you had heard the rumors about her and R. Kelly had quote unquote got married. But a lot of people was like, the fuck is that?
Well, you know what? That's another thing. And so the documentary goes like, yeah, there was rumors they were married and they broke on MTV. But once again, this is before we had social media.
Right.
So it wasn't like MTV broke this news and then we all went to our Facebook page and saw it, or it was on Twitter. It was like MTV broke this news and then like, it was like, oh, we gotta ask him about this. And when they ask him, it's like, oh no, that's not true, it didn't happen. Okay, but then now you're being sued and the marriage has been annulled, so it did happen. Well, we just not talking about it no more. It was just different. And I don't think that part can be expressed enough, because mm-mm. it's a big part of one, like, people keep going, why was this allowed to happen, blah, blah, blah. That's a big part of it.
The time is not like it is now.
Yeah, I don't think, I'm not saying people can't still be fucked up and pedophiles right. and all this shit, but he definitely is a person that got caught by technology catching up to his ass.
Yes.
If it, like, how many times that documentary is something about technology be the thing that really tripped him up? You know, it was like, oh yeah, well, we looked on our phone, on our iPhone thing, and we found our daughter. You know, oh, we went on this website and we found this, you know. So that was one of the things. But yeah, the Aaliyah thing was so weird to me, because when I heard that rumor, because it was still a rumor to a lot of people at that mm-hmm. time, I was even like, but he's a grown man and she's a little girl,
right?
You know, like, to me it was just kind of like, and I wasn't old, like, I know, and I'm not saying this in some, like, because I'm so better than everybody. I knew I was a weirdo when I was a kid, because I wasn't on necessarily the same shit. Now, it could just be that I was socially more of a nerd and I was more of an outcast anyway. So I wasn't really socialized with the same boys that were on some, like, you know, I'm just trying to get some sex, or that's what you do with girls, you just fuck them and all this shit. I really wasn't on that. So it could, I'm not saying it's necessary, it could be circumstance, it could not be the way my empathy set up or the way I was raised. It could literally just be circumstance, because I really feel like we're societally pushed into certain paths, and I think none of us is necessarily better than it. We're all victims of that circumstance.
Correct.
And I'm not saying this to pass judgment on folks, to be like, I wasn't with it, but I can only tell the truth. And the truth is, I wasn't with this shit, you know? And I thought it was weird then, and I never understood how it was okay with so many people that it happened that way. And, as Chris from Movie Trailer Reviews was saying on Twitter, I saw him, it kind of was the idea that the people that were older than us didn't necessarily come down on him either.
Right.
Like, no one stopped and said, hey, this right here, this is wrong. And this dude, something is fucking wrong with him. And like, that's crazy. You should not even support him. And people like him are terrible.
And the people that did, everybody dismissed.
Right. Well, also, there's the other part of this. There's a lot of R. Kelly's in the world. They're just not rich, famous, and keeping a sex cult.
Right.
But there's a lot, almost every girl I know, if not every black girl I know, was propositioned by some older man while she was in high school or junior high school, mm-hmm. when I was, you know, like when we were kids, there were 20 something year old. Yeah. 20 something year old. It wasn't so far fetched that there would be some dude who was definitely trying to fuck and date underage girls.
Yeah. I was young and dumb. And I, you know, it's one of those things where, not trying to funny, they teach you that that shit is normal.
Yeah. Like, and it's not. And so that's a societal thing.
Correct.
And I know it's not just a black thing. This is not me saying only black people. Please don't write us with some stupid shit, because I'm not saying those things. But it's definitely a part of the culture. Like, it was definitely something that people considered normal. Like, yeah, you might be 24, but hey, you know, it's if we got grass on the field, and that's all these type of sayings. Yeah. It was
that they're dumb and they're stupid, and there is a fucking lifetime of maturity between a 16, 17, 18 year old and a 21 year old and a 25 year old. The way you process shit ain't the same.
And they tried to sell Aaliyah specifically on some sex shit. Like, she was 14, 16 or whatever, and it seems that a lot of her imagery was crafted by R. Kelly. And it worked, because it works on little girls, because little girls want to be seen as older at that age. Right. So I think a lot of the attachment, and this is just my, I'm not a part of specialist in this, but it seems like to me a lot of the black girl attachment to her was that she was being seen as grown at a young age, and you know, people looked up to her, idolized her, and that's something that, you know, at that age a lot of girls long for, is to be seen as mature already, to be seen as influential already, to be seen as sexy already, not maybe not sexual,
right,
but you know what I'm saying. But like, oh, everyone agrees that you're like the hottest, the coolest. She had the little like thing, the one bang over her eye all the time. She had, you know, the baseball caps and the midriff popping out, but like the checkered shirts overhead and some, like, she was just like a cool, very fashionable, all this stuff. But what we didn't know is that a lot of that imagery is crafted by R. Kelly, who's fucking, that's the things he decided are the best about her.
Right.
You know, according to the doc, you know, she first came on the scene at 12 and she didn't really have a style. She didn't have a thing. And when you see her auditioning as like this little girl in a dress and smiling out, and then you see R. Kelly kind of making her a little bit more quote unquote thugged out with the baseball caps and the jeans and all this shit, and you're like, oh yeah, they wanted to grow her up kind of. And the industry does that with white girls, all this shit, Britney Spears, Jessica Simpson. So it's not just a black thing, but it's just what we were seeing was his vision. Age ain't nothing but a number. We were seeing what he liked about her. But it wasn't just him. They had this clip with Timbaland, who we know produced her a lot of her music, a lot of her albums.
And Aaliyah, it's time for the world to hear this. I'm gonna give up a little secret. I was in love with her. I said, but I'm not, she's just a baby. I'm old. I said to myself, I'm just gonna be her brother. Oh man, I was fighting. I was fighting a lot, a big war. But I love Leah.
Like I said, it wasn't that uncommon. That's our culture. That's part of America. That's part of men. You know, and like and when you look at what she had on and stuff, those, that style, all that stuff was also part of what men decided, this is what you need to do to sell this music. You know, no offense to Aaliyah, rest in peace, but she wasn't like the most talented vocal person. That it wasn't like we was like, when you hear Aaliyah, it's undeniable. It was an image, you know. So I think it's kind of wild to see how accepted, because not like Timbaland said that and then immediately everybody was like, oh my god, Timbaland's the fucking worst, I'll never fuck with him again. No, that's just something he said and people went, I understand. You know, that's why if you listen to this show, you never heard me make a joke about like how hot some girl who's not 18 is to, like, you know. And a lot of men make these jokes, they think it's funny to be like, you know, oh man, the girl from Modern Family got some big titties, ha ha ha, you know, some shit like that. But I don't make the jokes because, one, it's not funny to me, which, you know, that's fine. I know funny varies per person. But then also, in this environment, what's okay about that? You know, it's just, it's like, it's just very fucked up and predatory. So, and it always weirds me out. So, but the Aaliyah stuff was very, like, telling. That should have been the end of it.
Right. Nigga forged papers and shit like that. Lied about her age.
He didn't forge papers.
Not him, but.
He had a dude forge papers for him for Aaliyah's birth. So it would say she was 18. So she could consent to a marriage in Hawaii or some shit. There were people that said they were on the tour with them on the tour bus and saw R. Kelly having sex with Aaliyah, and the family came out and was like, it's not true, and disavowing the entire documentary and stuff. I don't really want to speak too much to why the, you know, what the family, whatever, but I believe the people that saw it.
I do too.
You know, no offense to the family. I'm sure no one wants to imagine that happening to their daughter. And more importantly, a lot of these parents that wanted their kids to get into the show business entertainment and entrusted them in the care of this man, they don't want to have a situation where they have to say, how complicit am I?
Yes, yes. And even talking with Dexter, you know, from Shadow Dolls Productions, he was like, a lot of parents will actually, you know, go above and beyond like anything. And, you know, you were like, well, I am who I am, but if I was somebody else, you know, I basically could take full-fledged advantage because you literally are signing your child over.
Yeah, I mean, people want this fame and they chase this shit, and I thought the thing that left me the most in this documentary was the lust for fame, money, and power, and how R. Kelly having those things allowed him to be so abusive. You know, they didn't even really mention that money must have been changing hands. They mentioned that was like these NDAs, but like there might be hundreds of girls. Like, we know the 5 or 10 or whatever they had in the doc, but this man's traveled all over the world. At one point he had more money than fucking God, and he had people around him enabling this shit. Now, I was happy that these people finally went on record and said, these are the things I did for him. These are the things I saw. But it's all after they stopped collecting the check. It's all after, they did these things, and it's very hard to watch a documentary without being, for me personally, without being angry. Because I'm like, you did these things. You did not just realize this was wrong. It's impossible. You know, now I don't want to talk about the people that was abused by him, because I don't know. Like, I honestly felt bad, and I feel that, because I haven't said it on, I don't think I've ever said it on the show, but I know in my mind, I was very judgmental of his ex-wife. Because I used to remember her defending him. You know, I used to remember them trotting her out every once in a while. She'd basically be like, leave him alone, it's a conspiracy. And in my mind, like, well, damn, like, you don't see all this shit? Like, he did it. You know what I mean? Like, you should take your kids and get away from it, because this nigga is dangerous, right? But I couldn't have possibly known what the fuck was happening in their house. And you turn around and he was being abusive in that house. Now, I never voiced that or said that shit, obviously, because I don't, much like with a lot of the celeb shit, when I don't fucking know, I just don't say, because I don't know what's happening in people's houses and shit. You know, people did that to either Simone or Gabby, but one of the girls from the USGA,
mm-hmm.
And they was jumping in her shit when she was like, well, look what these girls have on and all this stuff. And then it turns out she was abused too, and everybody has to be like, okay, group hug, my bad, I didn't mean to roast your ass last night and tell you go kill yourself. You know, so you don't know. But anyway, seeing what she went through and the abuse she experienced, and how much there were people around him coordinating so that she didn't even know what all was going on,
right?
And the control that he had in all these women's lives, like telling them when they could and couldn't eat, I did feel so bad for her. And when she talks about having to leave and only having $2,500, taking 3 kids, and how he uses the child support to abuse her and to cut her off, and I mean, that's a hell that I can't imagine, you know. So I felt so bad for her specifically, as well as the girls who were actually abused by him. I didn't feel as bad, to be honest, for some of these adult women that got on with him later in life, 2011, 2013, 2016 and shit. Some of these women that literally had to know about these allegations, and they weren't kids.
I can't lie, I did not feel bad about those people. Like, I just don't know how the fuck that can happen.
And a lot of that is, it never happened to me, and a lot of that is from my, from what I got from the documentary, so many people bought into he didn't do it, period. They was like, he just didn't do it, I don't believe it, he didn't do it. And it's one of them things where nobody cares until the shit directly impacts their lives.
Yeah, my thing is, that's like, if you believe them, I don't know that I believe everybody that said they didn't think he did it and they didn't know.
All of them just didn't care too.
I think some of them didn't care. Yeah, I don't know. You know, I think that's the scary part of all this. I don't know for a fact, but I don't, my gut feeling was like, some of this shit was, oh my God, it's R. Kelly, and some people just don't give a fuck. You know, but a lot of people did seem to have the, it won't happen to me and it won't happen to my child, yep, mentality.
You could tell it.
And these predators use that against you. Cause it's, you know, and the women I think he picks out, he selects certain women that he thinks are, and girls, mostly girls, that he thinks are isolate and abuse and cast aside.
And a lot of times, a lot of his victims were weak-minded.
According to him,
his
people,
right? When I mean weak-minded, a lot of them not mature, because there are some grown-ass women that can fall for some stupid-ass tactics.
Oh yeah, and they did in this documentary. There were some that did. So one of the things I was thinking was, I wonder how much of his predilection for young girls was actually about the fact that it was the surest shortcut to make sure that somebody was impressionable minded to be in a cult.
Correct.
You know, and it was cult like behavior. I mean, not starving people is what they do in cults. Look up Jonestown. Look up the Branch Davidians. They starve you. They do these isolation, certain tactics that mentally break you down to where you can be abused this way. You know, human beings are, while we might not be robots, our brains and our chemistry and shit do share a lot of, you know, none of us is that fucking special is what I'm saying. And if you do certain things to people, they will break down. And he's a person that knew how to do those things and had people around him that made sure those things were done. You know, the fact that there were people on the document that had to escape.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you had to escape. Like you were leaving a cult. You know, oh, she was walking down the street, but they brought her back. You know, like, what is that? That's like some Scientology shit. So I don't know, man. It's like, and I saw a lot of shade for the parents, for especially the ones like later. And we covered that one, that the two parents that had the daughter, I think from South Carolina, that had sex with him in Florida, and then they was like, you can only meet with him when it's one of us and present, and as if they could mitigate between it. But she was 17, and I think R. Kelly also picks girls because the laws for the pedophilia shit are not really as concrete as people think.
Mm-mm.
I think people think it's like pornography, where it's like you have to be 18 to be in pornography, but sexual consent laws aren't like that at all.
Yeah, and it varies from state to state,
right?
And that's why a lot of states now are actually trying, people are pushing to raise these ages. You know, in some states it was as low as like 10, 12, 13, you know, 13, 14 years old. A lot of states have pushed it up to 16. You know, there may be some states that might be 18, but I don't think that. I think most states are like 16, 17 years old is the age. And the thing is, and me and Roger was talking about this, a lot of these fucked up laws on the books, it should be 18 across the country, period. It should be fucking 18. Nobody under the age of 18 should be able to consent. You can't fucking vote. You know, in some states you're just learning how to drive. You can't drink alcohol. But at 16 and 17, I can consent my body to somebody to fuck me and get me pregnant and deal with all the consequences and repercussions behind it, when I might not be to the place where I can actually understand what I'm doing. And then in some states, your parents have to say, I don't give a fuck about your goddamn parents signing. This is still a child. And a lot of religion fights against people actually raising these laws. A lot of people, this religion shit, why? Why would I give my child to a fucking grown ass man? It's fucking creepy.
So that's one of the other things too, is I think he knows that kind of stuff and has found the loopholes and used it to his advantage. I still don't know how the fuck he wasn't convicted. I understand it took 6 years for him to go to trial. I mean, money, it's money, 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 but it seems like one of the girls in the documentary, Sparkle's niece, the 14-year-old that was in the sex tape and that the other girl talked about having a threesome with and all this stuff, she apparently still with R. Kelly. So through all this shit, like, she has testified that that wasn't her in the tape. Her uncle said that wasn't her in the tape. Her uncle was like his bass player. So like there's this aura around him, or this protective bubble around him, of people that are complicit in this. They're not equally complicit, but they are complicit in protecting him, you know. And now some of these people are adults. People take a paycheck from him, and all that stuff, you know. And it seems like the money and the fame and the power has always protected him. Even with Aaliyah, he paid $100 for her to sign an NDA about that marriage shit. $100, you know. So it just seemed like the dude is protected, and he's gonna forever be protected, because the record industry doesn't care. RCA Records still has him on their label. The artists that work with him, people still work. I think there's a song right now he has out with a gospel singer right now on the charts, like, and I forget which gospel singer it is, but he was like, I read an article in
Marvin Sapp.
Yeah, Marvin Sapp was basically saying, who am I to judge? Like, it's not my job to judge this man. I'm like, yeah, but it's your job to work with him and get on the charts, right? I don't know. So, you know, that was a big part of it. What I will say overall is I'm very proud that they were able to have the documentary get made, because I feel like a movement that has mostly been headed by black women, that has a person who was abusing black women as a target, that's not something I think that I would ever thought to get to see on TV.
Correct.
And it's a hell of an undertaking to be able to coordinate years and years and years of work and years and years and years of abuse and get people on the record to talk about it and all that stuff. I know there's stuff we're not covering right now. There's, you know, him giving girls herpes and shit, and one of the girls is suing him for that. I know there's a lot of other stuff that is at play. You know, like I said, there's people that got agendas in this. There's let me finish praising it before I get into the other part. And I do think that, you know, it's an important story that needs to be told. And even if it's not going to be told by the most perfect people or the most perfect place and all that stuff, it still needed to be told. You know, and it's funny the pushback people have for this documentary, but the BBC had a documentary like a year ago about this dude.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't see all that trying to take the black man down shit then. But it's good. I'm glad that this happened, and I'm glad that there's something we can point to now and go, watch this. Because in its face, to see these people, instead of just seeing like these, you know, shadowy allegations, and the fact that a lot of these people were minors, so you don't want to show their faces. A lot of these people, there's shame and stigma attached to being a victim. There's also shame and stigma attached to being just a sexual black girl. There's a lot of shame and stigma attached to that. You know, families don't want this shit out there. You know, it sounds like Sparkle's estranged from her family for being the one that stood up and was like, this gotta stop, and this is too much, and I wish I had never even introduced this motherfucker to my family. Like, it seemed like they said, well, fuck you then, you know, as opposed to the other way around. So people paying a cost to try to get this story out there, and as many of these people that were complicit, I mean, the dudes in this documentary were so fucking disgusting, man. Well, there was this brother that was in prison who, you know, you see how a person becomes R. Kelly when he's got those kind of people around him. But it was the other people that think they were well-meaning. The guy who prayed with R. Kelly when R. Kelly talked about filming himself having sex with young girls.
Yeah, they played about the assistant, the driver, the booker.
Yeah, I think one of the people I think was his, the one that was cloaked in shadow with her voice disguise. I think that was like one of his assistants that just recently quit, because she had all the tea. Like, she knew names, places, dates, everything. And it's like, you know, like Andrea said, Andrea Kelly, she was like, he's not a very smart man. He can't read or write. So who's booking these flights? Who's getting these hotel rooms?
Right.
You know? They, and then, because he doesn't read or write, all this dragging for filth people doing on Facebook and Twitter, nobody knows. He don't know. He ain't reading it.
He sure not.
They said they lied to him. They just would tell him that things went better than they did, and he wouldn't know. So that's why he was shocked when he did that interview that we played from the Huffington Post, when he blanked on that woman that time and quit the middle of the interview. It's like, cause people have been telling him the shit was all good.
Right. Okay. Then he went out there and realized that it wasn't.
It's not all good.
Right.
He don't know. He don't, he's that isolated with his money and wealth and the people he pays around him. And like I said, it's such a fine line, cause it's hard not to be disgusted with some of the behavior of these people. It's just hard not to. Like, I get that they're saying this is wrong, and it, but like, you were part of the people planning this. You were part of the people keeping these girls from each other. You were part of the people that knew these people were being beat, punched, choked, isolated, starved, and you just chilled. You were just like, well, if that's what she want. Nobody said shit. It's crazy, man. It's crazy that there's people like that in this world. You know? And even worse, the people, you know, like I said, the people that aren't even being paid on his payroll, millions and millions of people online. Oh, 16, that's a grown woman. I mean, what the fuck? She sick. So wait, you telling me a 16-year-old don't know what she doing? Like, that kind of shit. Well, you just like, what's wrong with you now? You know? So it's the same logic to me that has Santoya Brown behind bars right now for 51 years. Cause people think a 16-year-old killing a fucking pedophile child, rapist is the same as fucking, you know, kicking in someone's door and robbing them. You know, because she's black and because she's a girl, we have decided, nah, she's a grown ass criminal woman. That's what people decide. Like, it's, the math is that simple in their heads. There is no in between for them. There is no, and we know that if it was a white person, it'd be different. The actual outcome of the criminal justice system, the way people view it, it would change immediately. You got full ass rapists like Brock Turner, who are, they're full rapists, and the judge is like, it's a shame we can't ruin this young boy's career, this young man. You know, like, we got that shit happening in the same place where we also got the, you know, these girls was grown. It's infuriating. And I know I'm venting a bit, but it's like, you watch 6 hours of this shit, you gonna want to vent too. And I understood everybody that didn't watch it too, and why you don't have to tell us right in to tell us how to art. Like, we get it. You did not have to watch it, and I understand not watching. I understand you don't want to listen to us talk about it. I get it. But I felt like obligated to talk about it to a certain extent. But I am proud that they got it done. Honestly.
Yes.
Everybody that helped contribute to get it done, that's dope. Whether you did it for your own selfish reasons, all that shit, cool. But at least the story got out there. Now to some of the bad. I do have to talk about that.
Yes.
The last hour of the 6 hours almost undercuts the entire first 4-5 hours.
Right.
And whoever made those decisions in editing, I don't know why you would do that to yourself. Why would you do that? You have a message you want to convey. Why are you getting to hour 6 and we're seeing Charlamagne, Joe Budden, Wendy Williams? I don't know Ebro shit like that, but I saw people saying he shouldn't have been in it. Tom Joyner, who only stopped playing R. Kelly in like May of 2018, you know, which I get that, you know, but all that radio shit, people, is late. It's very conservative black radio, but like, who decided they should be in it? Because you're talking about men that have people that either have defended abusive black women or joked about the abuse of black women or denied the abuse of black women or abused black women themselves. You know, like, some of the quotes from Charlamagne were like, the black woman's the most disrespected woman on earth. It's like Spider-Man pointing at Spider-Man. You know, the one where he said, why would these women, what reason do these women have to lie? damn, you sir, you saying it? You know, Angela Rye was just saying his accuser was lying, trying to get a come up. Like, this is in the same calendar year as last year. Like, what happened? Like, like someone should have just left that part on the cutting room floor. You know, it's just crazy, that stuff made it in. I really, maybe it's just that hard to find people that will talk about this on the record. I don't know. Maybe it's that hard. I don't know. But that shit shouldn't have been in there. And they didn't really add anything to the content.
That was my point. I was like, y'all not adding anything. We could have stopped this at 5 hours and it had been all good.
Yeah, we're talking about 5-10 minutes maybe of extra content. You know, the Wendy Williams one was really fucking weird because Wendy Williams got in trouble last year for defending R. Kelly. Now, the way she did it sounded shady, so I think, you know, people tried to act like, oh, she's just being shady. But no, she defended him and then wouldn't say anything until she started losing sponsors. And then she recanted her defense of him. But she interviewed him and basically said, oh, yeah, he can't read or write. So, you know, he basically couldn't have done this. And then she blamed the parents and shit. I will tell you, this is a cautionary tale. Parents, you need to watch who you let loose your girls around. If you're so desperate that you want your kids to be stars, you're going to unleash your daughters to the world. You better watch what you get. Meanwhile, this dude has numerous accusers that are saying he was having sex with us and abusing us, and some of us were 13 years old. And that's what she wanted to use her platform to say, you know? So that was I don't know, those choices really hurt the doc to me. That, you know. And then there was also a segment in there where Chance the Rapper had got interviewed by Jamila Lemieux for Cassius, and they took a clip from the interview where he said making a song with R. Kelly was a mistake. I didn't value the accuser stories because they were black women. I made a mistake. And of course, it was a small snippet, a clip from the whole interview, but people have been going in on Chance the Rapper hard. Now, some of it is motherfuckers didn't like him before. I don't know when it right. switched for him, because I'm not a huge Chance fan like that. Like, I actually like 10 Day more than I liked most of his other stuff, but that's neither here nor there. But, you know, I'm not a huge Chance fan like that, so, you know, I haven't really kept up with everything he's done. Same. But, you know, people been taking pictures of him and being like, you know, he was in like his drummer is the, I don't know, brother or cousin of the girl that was in the sex tape, and he knows too many people that are rapists and all this shit. He's got pictures of people that are rapists and shit, and he's you know, so like he's complicit somehow, he a rapist himself. I don't know what's true, what's not true. These are just the things I've seen people talking about. But yeah, I found it interesting that all started from that clip. I'll see if I can play it, actually, because I got the extended clip here. He posted it on his Twitter, and I'll see if I can play it. But he did say the quote was taken out of context. But the truth is, any of us who ever ignored the R. Kelly stories or ever believed...
What program?
Hold on. Or ever believed that he was being set up, attacked by the system, as a black man often are. We're doing so at the detriment of black women and girls. I apologize to all his survivors for working with him and for taking this long to speak out. So he said that yesterday. I didn't even know they had a song together. That's crazy. All right, let's see what
to really be hypersensitive to black male oppression. It's just prevalent in all media. And when you see niggas getting beat up by the police, it's men. Like, that's like a scene that you see. Like, slavery for a lot of people, they envision men in chains. Like, but black women are, you know, exponentially higher oppressed and violated group of people. Like, just in comparison to the whole world, you know? Maybe I didn't care because I didn't value the accuser's stories, like, because they were black women, because, like,
Okay, so I guess that's the extended clip. Because they cut it down to just like, I didn't value the accusers because they were black women. But yeah, that became his own little controversy. Like, I know Jamelle Lemieux kind of defending the interview and kind of defending him by proxy by saying, hey, this is the work y'all want these men to do, and you want people to change, and you want people to admit they were culpable in this shit. But at the same time, people are already like shitting on the dude to make it seem like maybe he shouldn't have said nothing at all. I don't know. What do you think, Karen?
People don't know what they want. I put it like that. People, and I've come to the conclusion, a lot of people don't know what they want. You say you want something, you get that. That's not what you want. And it's very, it could be very confusing because it's like a catch 22. He don't say nothing. Y'all gonna be like, he should have said shit. He says something, trying in his own way to fix it, and you're going, well, you shouldn't have said nothing at all. And it's one of those things where then what do you do? You know, so I can see why a lot of people's like, I'm not saying anything. I'm separating myself. I just don't say anything. A lot of people that haven't said anything and haven't came out, I've seen people talking about, well, this person is saying that, that person is saying that, that person. You wonder why. That's why. I don't know. People don't want to deal with that. And a lot of times it's really easy for people who quote unquote don't have anything on the line to question other people and their behavior.
Yeah, I'll say the response I saw online seemed like it came from somewhere else. Like, it was whatever it was, it couldn't have just been about those comments. Mm-mm. And I don't, like I said, I don't follow that dude like that, so he may have a history of some wild shit. I don't listen to his music like that. I don't know what his local stuff is, because I've seen people being like, he know this person been accused of rape, this person. So I don't know. That's how I like the response doesn't seem that it's directly to what he said, and it's more about like the kind of person a lot of people must think he is.
Right. And also for some of the other people that they've, you know, been talking about and saying anything, sometimes with a lot of those people, I think too, it's other underlying things, and this is just a jumping off point to say how this person is a shit.
Yeah. Yeah. And then like Jamelle defending him is kind of like, even if she's righteous on it, it's still going against the grain of social media, and you know how social media is now. It's like, you know, it is what it is. The attention, the clicks, the retweets, that's currency too. The attention, like all of that stuff. Not liking people do that all the time. When they don't like you, they find a reason that your shit is fucked up and everybody else's shit don't stink, you know. I don't know what I just, it feels bigger than what he said, because on the scale that, like, when you first talked about it, that's how I feel. Like, at some point we need men and people that were complicit and people that ignored and people that shouted over these women to speak the fuck up and say, I did that, I'm sorry, I was wrong, you know. And I do believe that the reason a lot of them did that is because these victims were black girls, and oppression does center around black men when it comes to race. And I'm not saying that's how it actually is, but that's the imagery around it, you know. And I think part of the whole do the work shit is you can't do the work until you have some accountability, and accountability is ugly, you know. But I don't, but you said something so profound. I don't know if people know what they want.
I've literally come to that conclusion, because baby, I try to be rational, I try to be very logical, and some of the shit I see online don't motherfucking make sense. As the wind blows is how the views change. And I was like, oh, y'all motherfuckers are goddamn crazy, you don't know what you want.
Yeah. So I, you know, that I did definitely feel like people, and this is also the other thing, people say they want certain things because they don't think you'll give it to them,
right?
And that's a big one, because most of the time when people fuck up, they don't give you a sincere apology. Mm-hmm. They don't give you any acknowledgement of the harm they've caused. They don't give you the reasoning to why they did the things they do. They don't give you any of that. They go, fuck you, double down, you're all motherfuckers. And we actually know how to play that one out, right? Oh, you dragging up, we drag your ass back. Well, that's why we're gonna get you canceled, you know, that kind of shit. But what we don't really know is when a motherfucker turn around and be like, you right.
Right.
Because it's exactly what you said. You know,
because
now how do we deal?
Because the thing is, this is how I feel about that. When you do that, You take the power out of their hands. You take the control of them dictating how the conversation is going to go out of their hands. And the thing is, when people are sincere, some people use a tactic because of brand. They keep moving the goalpost. Mm-hmm. Purposely and strategically moving the goalpost. So you never actually make it to the mark of being perfect. So you apologize sincere. You might have to apologize several times, but then once it gets to a certain point, you acknowledge it and you say, yes, I've addressed this before. Here are the links and stuff to where I've addressed this problem. Da, da, right. Da, da, da. And then you got to move on, because if it's left up to some people, once you get that one strike, you are never valid in nothing else. You can save a fucking cat from a tree. It's gonna be fuck you to the day you die. Yeah. And so some people are just crazy when it comes to this, and you can't stay stuck, because the thing is, people claim they want growth, but they only want growth within themselves. They never want growth in other people. You only want mercy for yourself, but you don't want to extend that mercy and grace to other people. And I've come to a conclusion that I guess it's because I see people's behavior online. It's like, oh, all this shit you talking, you don't really mean it, because once it's time to actually apply this grace and apply this mercy and be reasonable and be logical and forgive, you don't want to do it. But then that person can only be there but for so long.
Right. So yeah, I don't know. I don't even know where you go with that, because like I said, it just feels bigger than whatever the comments were. It had to be just some other shit, because like someone in the chat said, folks don't think Chance is sincere. And I'm like, my question becomes, who is sincere? Like, who gets to decide who's sincere? I don't know, you know, because I think only time can really tell sincerity with right. any of this shit. So it's like, the first comments wouldn't matter anyway, you know. And honestly, we never go back and actually give those people like the things like to go where they were right. Like, for I'll give a brief example, Ray Rice. You know, we all were, me included, were all suspicious of Ray Rice, and when he said he was gonna be an advocate against domestic violence, and when he said that this only happened one time, and you know, he was sorry, and we were like, nah, that dude abuses his wife, something else is gonna happen, you know, this guarantee this ain't the first time and all this shit. But I don't know, it's been what, 4 years now, and I mean, nothing else has copped out from over there. He has stayed dedicated to speaking out against domestic violence and trying to be a positive example and trying to talk to these players and stuff to be like, yo, this is where you fucking up and this is how you need to get better. None of us, including myself, have ever taken any time to go back and be like, well, maybe he was telling the truth, you know. And we're not going to. He can do it for the rest of his fucking life. You know, we catch him jaywalking, we're gonna be like, I'm on your ass again, nigga. Like, that's just how it is. And I think that's just the nature of it's the nature of the beast now. There is no, like, there is no over. There is no
right.
coming back. There is, it's you fucked up and you forever fucked up. There is no, forgiveness and return, which is why it becomes that thing where nobody gets canceled, because you can't cancel anybody when you're canceling everybody. It's like, it doesn't mean anything.
Correct. And like I said, when people get offline, all this, I'm team petty, never forgive, that shit does not function for most people in real life. Everybody has had to forgive somebody at some point and period in their life. There's nobody that has ever lived that's like, you know, not that you can't be like, fuck you forever. Don't get me wrong. But everybody at some point in time has forgave. But you let the internet tell it, nobody's forgiven. You let the internet tell it, nobody is everybody is just fucked up forever but you.
Yeah,
and that doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, it was funny because one of the people that was like really on Chance's ass, I couldn't see their tweets because I had already blocked them. I was like, why did I block them? So I went and like searched our names together to see like what exchange do we have that would make me go to block this person. And it was when I talked about Black Panther and I talked about the difference between Michael B. Jordan's character and T'Challa, you know, Killmonger and T'Challa. And I was like, yeah, they made Killmonger, one of the tales of that he can't be the hero was how he treated black women. He was abusive.
Correct.
Beating them, killing one of them. He, like, and T'Challa's entire life is about, surrounded by the wisdom of black women, protecting black women protecting him. This is symbiotic nature between him and black women, right? And so I wrote this thread on Twitter about it, and you know, people were sharing it and it got, you know, like some attention. And the person that was talking shit about Chance replied to my thread with, "So you think it's good writing to beat and choke black women?" I never responded back to him. I obviously just blocked him for that, because that's ridiculous, and that's kind of a problem with Twitter. You take shit out of context and you want to fight about it, and now you got me out here looking like I'm okay with beating black women because you want to start a fight because you know. But that's the kind of thing, like, that's the kind of person that is mad at Chance right now. So maybe it's not as bad as it seems, and maybe it's just a lot of these people they're mad at everybody. They're gonna be mad every day, and it's, you know, and this will blow over. We'll see. Or maybe there's something deeper, darker with Chance, and we're gonna find out later. Like, yo, Chance is also in these circles and just as fucked up, because I've seen all these pictures and people are like, this person's a bad person, that person's a bad person, why Chance know all these people, you know? So I don't know, but that became his own side story to this thing, and he was only in there for 3 seconds, you know. Meanwhile, like I said, Charlamagne's in there, Joe Budden's in there, Ebro's in there, Wendy Williams is in there. That hour was not smart. It was just not and I don't know if it's because Dream has connections with these folks, because, you know, Dream used to be in the game pretty heavy, and then she kind of left social media, or fell back in a big way after that whole Black Lives Matter thing, where she kind of was going at DeRay, some of the women in Black Lives Matter. It just got out of control, and she just kind of disappeared. I remember at one point she was talking about how she don't read her social media, and it was just crazy. Like, the whole thing was crazy, and that's the person behind this documentary. So you got that stuff, and she is tight with Jay-Z, like, wrote his book and all this stuff. And she kind of threw him under the bus to start the promotion for the documentary. It was like, Dream Hampton is going to war with R. Kelly. And she had a quote saying, like, Questlove and Jay-Z and Mary J. Blige are all afraid to go on camera and talk about it. And Questlove had a tweet being like, that's not the way I remember that. You asked me to be in a documentary about R. Kelly. I thought it was going to be some shit about, like, his music, and I don't want to be in the documentary talking about how genius this dude was, because I don't fuck with him at all. And she said something to the effect of basically like, nah, that's not true. You could have did the documentary, blah, blah, blah. He deleted the tweet. And, you know, and so it kind of did throw some people under the bus to even get it started, to get the attention on it. And it kind of places R. Kelly as this powerful figure, right, that everyone's afraid to talk about. But even in the documentary, even after kind of throwing Jay and them under the bus, I thought then, well, obviously the documentary will talk about the best of both worlds. They made two best of both worlds. Both trash albums, by the way. Both trash. Both albums did not bang at all. Mm-hmm. Horrible idea. It's like it was so bad. But that was a huge part of why R. Kelly, for me anyway, it was a huge part of why I felt like he got allowed to quote unquote stay around, was because of that fucking Not Guilty song. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was everywhere.
Jigga Kelly, Not Guilty.
Yeah, it was Jay-Z's Not Guilty, I think, of stabbing Un Rivera, maybe, and R. Kelly's Not Guilty of this sexual assault shit. And so, hey, look, we're both black men celebrating. The system tried to hold us down, and they couldn't get us, and now we're going on a tour together. And then the tour fell apart. The tour out fell apart very abruptly. It felt like, I know R. Kelly ended up suing Jay-Z and shit. And no one ever really came out clean with 100% like what happened. They just kept saying R. Kelly was unprofessional. It was unprofessional. So I don't know what happened behind the scenes, but I thought that would be in a documentary at least.
And it was
that era. And that's a huge era to his comeback.
A big block.
Yeah, like, it wasn't just I Believe I Can Fly and then he was back. Like, it was a lot of shit, a lot of cosigns, all that stuff. So yeah, I don't know, man. We'll see with all that stuff, because the agendas was everywhere.
Yeah, we'll see. And the thing about it is that because the internet moves at such a quick pace, the internet don't got time, and there's only some things only time will tell. Only time will tell if people are sincere. Only time will tell if people ain't shit. But the internet got everything but time on their hands, so it moves on. And by the time comes for the truth to come out, internet done forgot, because we have such short-term memories,
right? Like, yeah. So I don't know. And then I also saw stuff about Drake. People were saying he's friends with Millie Bobby Brown. They were trying to imply that there's something sexual going on there. There was also like a 17-year-old girl that he groped in a club. She came on stage where he was performing, like he put somebody on stage and she like kissed him and he grabbed her butt or something like that, and people were saying like, look at this. But I don't literally know if he knew her age. I don't know anything about that situation, the specifics of it. And there was like an Instagram model that he was friends with, he took pictures with, and people was like, that means something going on. I don't know. The tea was everywhere on the timeline. It was a mess. People were not ready. One of the survivors who was in the documentary posted some suicidal like messages and has not posted since. So I don't know that anyone was, I don't know what the preparation was around this. I don't know what the, I don't know. I hope it did more good than harm. I really do. But I can't imagine how tough these days must have been for people that are also survivors, people that are just triggered by seeing these things talked about so abruptly and seeing that you can't escape it online. It must have been very tough for people.
Yeah, and did you post a documentary on how like the hotline like went through the roof?
Oh, I talked an article. The sexual assault like hotline and for survivors calls went up. I mean, this is our society now. Ever since Pussy Grabber in Chief took office and the Me Too movement took off, I really think there's been a race to make sure these stories get told. And it's so funny that people try to turn it into an R. Kelly thing, but they've been telling these stories about Bill Cosby, Harvey Weinstein. This is not, R. Kelly's not alone in this.
No, he's not. And I feel the same way about R. Kelly as I do about some of these other big profile cases we've talked about, or people we've talked about. These are just the ones we've told, that we've heard. These are just the ones that have came out. These are just the ones women that were willing to tell this, women or girls at the time that are willing to tell their stories. And there are women that have been abused that are now dead and gone, and we will never hear their stories.
Yeah, and then the other thing too is societally, we are all kind of on the hook for this, because while we may not do these things ourselves or whatever, our society is definitely one that targets young girls. I mean, how many of our white people news articles, some old ass white man and some like fucking 21-year-old woman that's his wife, you know, like it's a staple. It's a staple of our society. Like the hot young, barely legal, blah, blah, blah. Like that's a big thing. And we're all as a society obsessed with youth, and obsessed with that naivety, and obsessed with sex in a way that just makes it very hard for young women to live, and you know, to live a life where it's not like a fucking horror show, you know. So mm-hmm. And then how many men turn on women for this? Men are the ones obsessed with these women, and then who do they get mad at about it? The women,
of course, because you made my dick get hard. And all also right. One of the parents went and actually got her baby. She was like, I'm going to get my baby.
Shout out to her, Dominique's mom.
She was like, I refuse to give up.
I hope Dominique is still with her and able to stay away. Cause like, that's the thing about that cult shit. After a while, it's not really about, can your parents come get you? It's about your own free will, and can you quit yourself of this abuser? Cause
it's like a drug.
Yeah, you start to feel like this is the only person that loves me, this is the only person that knows me. I have to go back to them and get my validation, and you know, all that stuff. You know, it wasn't surprising that a lot of the women in the documentary that he targeted had also experienced abuse, mm-hmm. as well as he did, you know, and he bonded with them over that. Like, this dude was a sexual predator for so long in the industry and within the community, and I'm glad there's a light being shone on it. I don't know what can be done, what will be done. Someone brought up to me on Twitter, because I was like, good, at least he fucking can't pay for the houses, the compounds where he was keeping girls basically away from their family in Atlanta and shit. And she was like, yeah, but actually when they lose money like that, they get more violent and aggressive towards the girls that are still there.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, there's no fucking winning. There is no win with this shit, you know. And who knows what the fuck gonna happen. Like, even if he goes to prison, there'll be some people that are like, prison isn't fair, I don't believe in prison. I don't know what the fuck. I don't know. I'm just surprised a motherfucker like that's still alive, you know, that somebody just hadn't taken it to their own hands. But I guess the same way Zimmerman is alive, the come same on. way, you know, just shit like this happens. All right, let me pause. All right, and let's get into another segment on the show. I'm gonna skip fucking with black people. I feel like,
oh yeah,
this fuck with us all, right?
Yeah, 100.
Can we all agree that we are very fucked with right now?
Mm-hmm.
That was like Me Too, taking out the trash, fucking with black people. That was everything.
Yep.
So, and we're gonna be back every day this week, so I can save some of this news for later. Let's do something more fun. Maybe let's do some fucking with, I mean, what did I say? Let's do some guest erase. That's what I mean. What's my guest erase music?
Now that it's time for some guest erase. That's right, it's guest erase time. Now that it's time for some guest erase. That's right, it's guest erase time.
Ba-dum-bum.
That's right, it's time for Guess the Race, the number one game show going across all the podcast land, where we read and play news articles from all over the globe, and we ask our contestants today, Karen and the chat room, to guess the race. And of course, everyone playing is racist. All right, let's see here.
The butt crack bandits have been spotted outside of Cedar Rapids.
Somebody out here cracking ass? What's happening here?
It seems the so-called butt crack bandits aren't exclusive to Cedar Rapids. Scott Rosecrans thinks he spotted the two thieves burglarizing his auto mechanic shop north of Robbins on County Home Road Christmas Eve. Rosecrans captured on security camera two men of similar dimension and trouser trouble as those that recently stole from a Cedar Rapids car wash. The burglars drove a dark blue Toyota Tundra with tinted windows and a dented rear bumper. Well, of course, the bump, I mean, these guys are not very good with the rears. Crack bumpers, crack of ass. The vehicle's license plate numbers couldn't be seen in the security images. Cedar Rapids police said on Thursday they received reports of 3 to 4 of these kinds of burglaries at area car washes in about a week's time. Police were looking into whether how many of the thefts were connected to the two men. I guess they meant to say just how many. It was unclear if Rosecrans' theft was among the incidents. The burglars gained notoriety after a theft at Westdale Car Wash early Christmas morning. The two spent 2 hours there busting open coin safes and destroying the facility's change machine. Security video showed the larger of the two men repeatedly readjusting the pants as they slipped down, exposing his bare posterior. The co-owner of the car wash said the thieves didn't make off with much money, but did do a substantial amount of damage to the property. Repair estimates totaled at $20,000. Those who recognize the two or have more information are instructed to call the police. Karen, guess the race of these two men.
White.
Karen's going with white for the butt crack bandits. Let's see what you guys believe in the chat room. White. Rusty from Designing Women White. Caucasoid. White. White. A lot of whites going in here, guys. Guess you guys think it's some full moon, huh? Butt cracker white. Mexican, says Marlene. I'ma say black because I'm feeling contrary, says June. White. Cedar crack of Pasty Rapids white ass. The correct answer is they were white. Some of you did miss it, though.
Shit, what are they applying for? Next American Ninja Star? What's happening here?
Yeah, and then they had their butt cracks out everywhere. Butt crack out there. They kind of blurred the butt cracks out, which I guess good for us. I don't know.
I remember them butt cheeks a minute well.
Right. Officer. That's how they gonna get caught. They gonna be at the mall and somebody gonna recognize the butt crack.
I know. They gonna pull them out. Could you look at all the butt cracks and tell us, does any of these butt cracks look familiar to you?
And they say black people be sagging.
Let's go to another one.
Well, black don't crack, apparently.
Apparently not. Cause the butt crack. I get it. Gainesville woman.
I couldn't help that one. My bad, y'all.
Nah, that was good. I liked it. Gainesville woman was arrested after a frying pan attack.
Oh shit! Was it cast iron?
She took it old school. Frying pan.
She did.
Damn. Well, you know how it goes, guys. An argument over food led to an assault.
Ooh, what kind of food? Fried chicken, fish. This is a good question.
All right, Poppy over there from Hallie Question. Were you gonna name all the foods?
I just want to know, because the food make a difference in the race now.
A woman was arrested on charge of domestic aggravated battery with a deadly weapon after police say she beat her boyfriend with a frying pan. Kanesha Daniels, 40, of Gainesville, was booked into the Alachua County Jail about 9 p.m. According to an arrest report, Daniels said her boyfriend came home drunk and went to sleep. Then he woke up and rummaged through the fridge for food. Both parties began arguing about whose food it was. Daniels told deputies that the victim shoved her out of the way to get to the food. The argument escalated, and they both began throwing food over the balcony of their apartment. Damn. No, they was mad. You throwing food away to prove a point? At one point during the altercation, Daniels grabbed a 12-inch frying pan and struck her boyfriend in the face, causing multiple lacerations to the forehead and left cheek. Guess she had a deadpan delivery. At least it wasn't grits.
Right? Come on. He's the one grits.
We done came a long way, guys. Used to just be grits. The victim, a 47-year-old man, had been living with Daniels for about 5 months. He left the apartment and contacted authorities. Daniels faces one count of domestic aggravated battery with a deadly weapon without intent to kill, third-degree felony. She was released from jail on her own recognizance. Karen, guess the race of Kanesha Daniels.
Black, because that frying pan was a deadly weapon with intent to kill.
Okay, I feel you. Let's go to the chat room and see what they have to say. She was waiting all day for those leftovers. Black. Didn't have a boiler grit full of grit, so she used a frying pan. Black. Sis was fed the fuck up. I'm still contrary. Black. All he wanted was that big piece of chicken. Black. Cast iron. Black. Ha. I like my chicken fried hard. Black. And who stole my goddamn apple juice? Black. Everybody went black. It was a blackout, and the correct answer is a black. Also, oh, Florida, right?
Duh. Oh yeah, she did that.
Well, don't her face look like I will hit you upside the head with a fucking frying pan?
She did that. She got a big ass thing of Crisco grease is hardened over on the side.
You know what part of Florida this happened at, Karen?
Where?
The panhandle. Also, I don't think I think she's gonna get out of jail anyway. I think she's gonna, the charges will be dropped. You know why?
Why?
Because she's Teflon. Because the charges won't stick. All right. Let's move on, guys. Go to the bonus round. Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race. That's right. Double the points, double the race. In the bonus round of Guess the Race, so far Karen is actually 2 for 2 in the new year.
Can you believe that? Starting off on the right foot.
I absolutely can't believe it. Let's see if she can go 3 for 3. Let's see, what story do I want to do next? Skip this one. Let's do how about this one. A Kentucky man charged with throwing a Christmas ham at a woman.
He was hemming it up, apparently.
He was going hard as a motherfucker.
Come on.
Authorities say a Kentucky man has been arrested after he threw a ham at a woman during an argument over which day Christmas dinner should take place. Well, it won't be happening with the ham on the ground.
Apparently, it didn't happen on Christmas.
David Brannon, 31, of London, was arrested just before 10:20 p.m. on Sunday after he tried to flee from police officers who reported to a home on Love Road for a domestic dispute call.
What an unfortunate name.
I guess Love doesn't live there anymore.
Mm-mm, and Love, that meal was not cooked with Love.
Love Road should have brought your ass home last night.
Come on.
Long County Sheriff's Office said in the Facebook post that Brandon threw items at the woman, including a ham to be eaten for Christmas dinner, following an argument over what day that family was going to have their holiday feast. Deputies say several items were found on the kitchen floor. Brandon is being held in the Laurel County Correctional Center on charges of fourth degree assault, second degree fleeing or evading police. Online jail records reveal that Brandon spent both Christmas Eve and Christmas Day behind bars. I guess so he got whatever they served in jail.
Come on. Apparently, we know when it definitely happened after Christmas.
Mm-hmm. His bond for evasion charge was set at $1,000. Guess the race of David Brandon, ham enthusiast.
Oh, white. Niggas ain't throwing no ham at you.
You know his...
You like pork too much.
You know his favorite Shakespearean play?
What?
Hamlet. Okay, that was terrible. Sorry. All right, back to your guesses. She forgot to put the ham in the potato salad white.
Oh, no.
Yuck. White. He was just missing mayo. White. Contrary. Clear. Everyone's going white on this one. Is it the ham giving away green casserole white? They didn't say smoked, so white. The only people who could have a bland ham white. Ham hocked white. The correct answer is he was white. Three for three, Karen.
I know.
You did it. And that's his picture there. Oh, ham throwing motherfucker. Shame what they did to that ham. I wonder if they had to put like a outline chalk around the ham.
You know they did.
Evidence tape.
I know Honey Bank was like, well, damn it.
CSI showed up. From the trajectory of the ham, I would have to say he threw it from right here at the dinner table.
I'm here for ham CSI. They will not be disturbing any more hams.
CSI, my hammy. Oh god, I can't believe y'all wanted us to come back,
right? What the hell is y'all, what's wrong with y'all? Y'all asked for this foolishness.
This is terrible. A man in Massachusetts has been charged with threatening his mother's boyfriend with a sword.
Oh, shit.
Mm-hmm. The Sun Chronicle reports that 23-year-old Robert Coughlin pleaded not guilty to charges including assault by means of a dangerous weapon and was held when he had bail revoked in an unrelated malicious damage case. Police say the Attleboro man used a sword to threaten the other man during the argument last week. Coughlin's attorney says his client picked up the sword to defend his mother during the dispute and cooperated fully with police. Officers also recovered the sword outside the home. Damn.
family, Christmas, swords. It's not a good combination, people.
Mm-mm.
They're not throwing hands, they're throwing hands. It's getting worse out there.
Getting dangerous.
Of course, to legally protect ourselves, I will have to remind you guys that R. Kelly does deny all charges for all the shit that we think he did in this episode. You need that, Sharon. All right, y'all, we'll talk to y'all tomorrow. Until then, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah. Mwah.